And we found something really interesting, applying this yeast to the animals and then vaccinated them against a respiratory disease, against Actinobacillus pneumonia. We found how the probiotic increased the number of EGA producing cells in the lung, but also keep calm the immune response against all the bacteria and virus the animal had.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com. Ralco, proven science, practical results.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson, and I'm the host of the podcast. And joining me in our podcast studios this week is Dr. Guillermo Ramos Vidal. Dr. Guillermo is a professor at the University of Murcia and a diplomat of the European College of Porcine Health and Management. And prior to joining academia, Guillermo worked in industry for 13 years. Guillermo, thanks so much for coming on the show. You've done a lot of work studying the lung-gut axis and its impact on the health of the pig. And for some of our audience, that's probably a pretty technical concept they may not be familiar with. So let's start pretty high level, Guillermo. Lay out, you know, what is the lung-gut axis in general?
First of all, thank you for inviting me, Clayton, to join your podcast. I appreciate very much to communicate all these things to the audience. And for starting talking about the intestine lung axis, it's only referred to the communication between the intestine and the respiratory system to keep, first of all, alive the animal, and then to keep the animal healthy and in a good productive level. What does it mean? It means that we used to have in the brain separations between I'm an expert in digestive, I'm an expert in respiratory. And this is nonsense because respiratory and digestive system are absolutely connected through bloodstream, through lymphatic system, through immunity, and even through the byproducts of the microbiome. All of these configure a whole block of health then. Now we have to put all our effort in understand. We cannot understand no more longer as different things, the respiratory health and the digestive health. This is basically what the lung intestine axis means, and is a cool communication between two systems through cells, through cytokines, through products of microbiomes, through any kind of product that can be mobilized through the blood or the lymphatic system. Yeah. Well, for me, this is a new approach. This is one of the axes, of course. We are talking about this axis because it's the very, very big axis in the body. But of course, the brain, lung, the brain, the digestive skin. We have a lot of axes that are absolutely interacting between or among all of them. So we should talk about the net, the body net. And here we can define different axes. All of them have to be balanced. All of them have to be synchronized to keep the health of the animal and to produce as adequate as we want.
You did a nice job of explaining kind of the communication process between the lung and the gut. You know, you mentioned there's blood and a lymphatic system that connect them. There's, you know, metabolites and all sorts of things that are communication signals. Where are we at with understanding how that communication works, Guillermo? Are we still like learning the basics of how the communication works and we're learning more every day, so to say? Or is that pretty well defined that we know exactly the communication pathways and we can even interpret what they mean for the immune response based on the type of communication that's happening right now?
We are more and more learning about this communication. Don't forget that this is not really, it's not very, very new, the idea, but it has not been completely explored. And for example, now we are trying to know how can we intervene in the intestine to promote the respiratory health. And for example, we have made a lot of experiences using something so in fashion as probiotics. And in one of our experience, we had the aim to know what's happening in the lung if we add a probiotic through the mouth and through the digestive system. A probiotic based on a yeast, so it's a continuous addition probiotic. The bug itself, it doesn't reproduce in the intestine. And we found something really interesting, applying this yeast to the animals and then vaccinated them against a respiratory disease, against Actinobacterium pneumonia. We found how the probiotic increased the number of EGA producing cells in the lung, but also keep calm the immune response against all the bacteria and virus the animal had. This was really interesting. It's not so simple because we added the yeast to the mothers, and then we had mother with the yeast, mother without the yeast, and from this, if every one of this group, we got a piglets with and without the yeast. And really, really important in all these groups, the biggest issue was to give the yeast to the mother during lactation. So it's much more complicated. It means that we can act on the intestine lung axis, and we can even through the mother start influencing in this axis since the very first day of life in the piglets. This is one of the tips we have learned lately about this axis, but it's really interesting. Other of the really important things we are now learning and using diagnosis based on sequencing is how we can found pathogens that we have considered all our life as digestive pathogens, or we have considered all our life systemic or respiratory pathogens, how are located in different places we thought. And one very simple example, more and more we are finding diagnosis of cases of respiratory disease in which the main pathogen involved is Escherichia coli or is Salmonella enterica. Those bugs can be in the lung. Of course, somebody can think, oh, it's contamination during the sampling procedure. But doing very, very clean, samplings, we are finding with a very high frequency E. coli. And even when we investigate the virulent factor of these E. coli, are not coli with fimbriae, for example, that are used to attach in the intestine. Are fimbriae that are very frequent in the strains that are producing septicemia and reaching the lung and producing their disease. And for example, the opposite example is the Streptococcus suis. We find in a lot of samples of feces or intestine tissue Streptococcus suis, and probably is there waiting for a disruption of the intestinal integrity to go through, to pass to the blood, and to reach all the places, all the gold tissues. This is really interesting because broke our paradigm of the pathogens that are acting in the digestive or are acting in the lungs. It's really interesting.
You mentioned Streptococcus suis and E. coli as examples. Is the axis and the communication process unique to each pathogen, or the communication process is the same language and every pathogen is going to communicate the same way, the same, you know, signaling process, that sort of stuff? Do we need to learn the language of communication for E. coli and that's going to work for E. coli only, or will the language of E. coli be able to be extrapolated to Streptococcus suis and other pathogens?
Probably there is a general language. This is as Spain. In Spain, we have a common general language, but there in every region, we can have a local language.
Sure.
This probably is happening with the immune system related with these pathogens. There is a general language, a general communication that even without the presence of a disease or a extended infection is working, is keeping in communication, for example, the transfer of plasmatic cells, the transfer of lymphocytes, the transfer of neutrophils, the recruitment of different cells is always working. It doesn't matter the pathogen is there. In general, the innate immunity is working regardless of the pathogen is. And then probably there is a specific language for different pathogens. And this absolutely is related with the cytokines, what kind of cytokines are circulating between lung and intestine, what kind of signs about intestinal integrity broke is being sending. For example, the presence of lipopolysaccharide can be even interpreted in the lung as, well, something is not going well, and you have to at least be prepared for trigger and an immune response. But it's really interesting, and still we have no the whole picture of what is this, which is the complete communication we can have between this system, and then put the brain in the equation, and put the brain working in association with the lung, with the intestine, and then it's a marvelous and absolutely crazy communication.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance, and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterasol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. Talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
Guillermo, let's wrap up with a summary, a take-home point, if you will, for practicing veterinarians and producers who are listening to this. You've got experience in the field. If you're going to speak to a veterinarian who's dealing with Streptococcus suis, E. coli, et cetera, maybe not specifically how to manage those diseases differently, but how should we rethink pig health based on this information?
Absolutely. The message is very clear and unique. Stop thinking about different healths. Stop thinking about different prevention schedules. Think in a holistic and whole approach to the health. We can not anymore think about the respiratory disease and the intestinal disease. We have to integrate all together. And we have to be very clear that something affecting to the intestine is the door for E. coli, for Salmonella, for Streptosuit, for all these diseases that even not looking as respiratory diseases, they are. And they can produce all this damage. And of course, a lung under the attack of an E. coli or a Salmonella or a Strepto is able to be colonized by any other of the respiratory pathogens. Not only this, of course, all have to be in balance. The respiratory system have to send a high quantity of oxygen to all the tissues. Don't forget that we are working with elite athletes, producing a lot of meat in a very short time. So this needs a lot of resources, nutrients coming from the intestine, absolutely necessary, but also gases coming and going out through the lung. So the animal is a whole, is a only one piece, and we have not separate different parts. So all our health program have to be focused in all the whole animals. No more intestine, no more respiratory. Think that when you are vaccinated against E. coli or using a probiotic or using a very good feed or using anything that promote the intestinal health, you are working for respiratory health also.
Very good. Excellent information. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing that with the audience.
Thank you very much, Clayton. It has been my pleasure, and I will come back every time you call me.
Well, you learn anything new, you are certainly welcome to come back. And we should thank the audience, Guillermo. We could not do this if it wasn't for the people that tuned in. If you found this interesting, please subscribe to the podcast. Give us a rating if you have a few seconds to do so. We greatly appreciate that. It helps to bring people to the show and get this message and other good messages out. For Dr. Guillermo Ramos-Vidal, I'm Dr. Clayton Johnson. It's been our pleasure to chat with you, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.